Just making a note to myself here. Let's make Mondays amazing. So far, so good. And it continues. Dr. Michael Youssef is the founder and president of Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. It's a worldwide media ministry. His TV and radio programs are broadcast in 25 languages and seen worldwide. He's also a founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was born in Egypt, lived in Lebanon and Australia before coming to the U.S. And he's written a book called Life-Changing Prayers, How God Displays His Power to Ordinary People. He's my guest on the studio line. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
You're kind of a big deal.
God is.
I knew that was going to be your answer. So nice to speak with you. Thank you for doing the show.
As much as I'm connected with him, I'm worth anything. But with him, I'm indeed worth a lot.
Yeah. Now I have to say, your new book is my favorite subject, Life-Changing Prayers. I love any book on prayer, so I'm anxious to hear all about it.
Wonderful. Well, you know, the problem with the subject of prayer, I don't say a problem in the sense of a problem, but the issue always, you know, there's so many books on prayer. I mean, you know that.
Oh, yes.
And I remember years ago, Mike Hyatt came and see me and said, you know, there's a book that you really need to write, many years ago. And I said, you know, the moment a preacher starts saying, I'm going to preach on prayer, everybody in the congregation just comes immediately under this cloud of guilt, because there are very few people, if any, who feel good about their prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember saying back then, I said, I don't want another book on prayer. He said, no, this is different, because you can do this culturally, historically, and that is the model prayers, the different prayers that very simple, very ordinary people have prayed and experience the power of God, because we often think, oh, you know, God listens to him or listens to her. He's a big preacher. Uh-huh. It's a big, you know, big time. It's just like you said, you're a big time. I'm not a big thing. God is. And you know what? God, honestly, I've seen this all over the world. He honors and answers the simplest and the most ordinary people when they pray in faith, than all the so-called, professional Christians.
Mm-hmm. Michael, what do we know about prayer from what Scripture teaches? Isn't 90% of what the Bible teaches about prayer about worshiping God, and roughly 10% is petitionary?
Yes, I couldn't agree more, because I honestly believe that if you boil down all the prayers, it comes in one of the promise of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and these things, what are these things? Petitions, all the needs, going to be met. The Lord Jesus teaches the disciples and said, we watch the Pharisees recite these words, and we see you spending these hours in intimacy with the Father, and they will really come to a point where they said, well, tell us how to do this. And he said, pray according to this pattern. He didn't say just memorize it and rattle it off. He said, pray according to this pattern. Where does the pattern start? Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallowed be thy name. It's the name of the Father, the glory of the Father, the majesty and the work of God around the world. And I find myself sometimes when I get so lost and pray for others and for the work of God particularly, in the end, I pray in faith. I said, hey, thank you for meeting all my needs. I know you will. That's your promise. And the reason I chose specific people, starting with Eliezer, who was the servant of Abraham, who really basically did not know God personally, but he watched how God dealt with his master Abraham. And therefore, when he prayed, he said, the God of my master Abraham, I know you've done this. This is how he prayed to you. This is how he practices faith in relationship with you. Now I pray. And he prays this amazing prayer, saying, you know, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Please show me a wife for my master's son. And then God comes in with amazing. I tell story. I mean, I tell details in that particular chapter about how much, for example, a camel drink water. See, when Rebecca said, "Well, yes, I'll give you a drink of water. Let me also, while you have a drink, I can give your camel's drink." Now that sounds so simple, and we gloss over it, move on. Well, one camel drinks 25 gallons of water, and there were 10 camels. I mean, and he immediately says, "Oh, God had answered that prayer because He gave me a woman of character."
Right.
And then you go unto Hannah, this poor woman who was persecuted and berated by the other wife, and for not having children. And she cries to God in such a way that even the priest, Eli, thought she was drunk. And then you got Jonah praying, and she asks God for a son. And she's promised God, "I'll give him back to you." And she kept her word. And you know what God does? He turns around and gives a whole bunch of sons and daughters. But that's our God. You see, when you come to Him in a simple faith, petitioning that which is according to His will, He will answer in abundance. Jonah prays in the midst of his sushi feast that he is having inside the whale, you know, eating all that raw fish.
Mm-hmm.
And he cries out to God. And how does God deliver him? Supernaturally, miraculous. And the book goes on to show these model prayers, how these people prayed in difficult times, in times of need, and in times when they sought God with all of their heart, and how God answered. But I give a lot of the cultural as well as the historical detail in each one of those prayers.
I love it. Okay, Michael, I just looked up a big word, and the word is importune. And that means to ask someone pressingly and persistently for or to do something. Talk about importune and praying persistently.
Yeah, this is, and Jesus gives us examples of that, and He talks about the man who comes and knocking on the door in the middle of the night, and the head of the household doesn't want to get up, and it's just, kids are probably sleeping on the floor, wall to wall with kids, and he doesn't want to get up and disturb everybody and give him bread, but he said because he constantly asking him, because of that, he'll get up and do it. But then the greatest example is when the woman who went to this unjust judge, and she, with importunity, she kept asking, and then the judge answered. And then he says, "Now remember, God is not like that judge. This is unjust. He is a renegade, but God is far greater than that." And so imagine if the unjust judge responded to this woman's importunity, how much more your Heavenly Father, who loves you so dearly, will really hear, listen, and answer your petitions.
Michael, is this a model for how God wants us to approach Him with prayer?
Persistent? As you read, yes, I really believe that. And I tell people, particularly when a spouse is not a believer, or the children are not believers, which I'll have to call them pre-believers.
Mm-hmm.
If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's very clear when he says if an unbelieving husband or wife want to stay, stay because they are sanctified in you. What's that mean? It means that God has a special plan for that non-believing spouse. He has a special plan for those non-believing children. And I often believe with all my heart that that means God is going to bring them to Himself kicking and screaming. So don't give up praying for them. I'm often telling people, I don't care how old they get, just don't give up praying. I led people to Christ when they sat in my office and literally sobbed, and they said, "I know my mother prayed for my salvation, and I wish she was here. I said, "She will know in heaven." But whether it's in our lifetime or not, but if you pray, because this is according to the will of God, according to 1 Corinthians 7, then you somehow believe by faith that God will answer that prayer.
Michael, what about when people are a little on the discouraged side and they think that God is maybe not answering their prayers the way they would like, and they sort of say, "Well, God's will be done, thy will be done, so why do I even pray anymore?"
Well, I think you put your finger on it. God won't answer the prayer the way they want it.
Right.
We often I was saying this just the other day, yesterday. I mean, I said, how many times have we all sought to answer our own prayers? We want something so badly, but in reality, God is saying, I love you too much to give you this. But if you're praying for salvation, if you're praying for the work of God, if you're praying for the kingdom of God, you can be absolutely sure you are praying according to the will of God, and therefore you can never be discouraged, and you keep on persistent because you are praying according to the will of God. God will answer it sooner or later. You know, George Mueller is one of my great heroes. He still is one of my great heroes. And I read so much about him and how George had this orphanage of 2,000 kids in Bristol, England. And he would pray, and they had nothing in the morning when they got up and sitting on the empty table, no breakfast. And he would have prayed. One time he asked the kids to bow their heads, and he said, Lord, we thank you for the breakfast. And the kids kind of were opening half eye and said, what breakfast are you talking about? And then the next thing, there was a knock on the door, a milkman wagon. The wheel came off, and the milk was going to go off. And he said, can you do with some milk? Of course he did with milk. And then the baker comes in. He said, the Lord woke me up 5 o'clock in the morning, asked me to batch an extra bread for you and for your kids. And he brings it in, and they had breakfast. These stories over and over and over again in George Mueller. And so I began to think, well, what's wrong with me? I'm praying for things, you know, but I'm not getting those answers. And then I really began to read his true biography. And I discovered this man prayed for so many things. But there's some things it took 23 years to be answered. Just tell me who in America is willing to pray longer than 23 hours.
Or 23 minutes.
Might be 23 minutes, or
yeah.
23 weeks or 23 days. But this man would not give up praying. I said, no wonder God blessed him with the immediate stuff as well as the other, because he trusted God completely.
Well, Michael, it's so good to be reminded of the need for persistency in prayer.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
That is really neat. We all need to be encouraging one another to do that.
Yeah. Dr. Michael Youssef is my guest. He's the president and pastor of Leading the Way Ministry. We'll take a short break and be right back with Dr. Michael Youssef. Welcome back. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Dr. Michael Youssef is my guest, and he was born in Egypt and lived in Lebanon and Australia before coming to the U.S. Michael, how many languages do you speak?
Broken English.
That's it, huh? You're my kind of guy. We're talking about prayer with him. He's written a book called Life-Changing Prayers, How God Displays His Power to Ordinary People. And I'm wondering, Michael, what is one thing most people overlook while praying?
Well, there are several things that I've learned through the years, not from my own life only, but life of many pastoring. I've been pastoring now for 45 years, and I've watched, you know, short attention span, coming to God only when you want something, but then you have really nothing to say to God during those times when you don't want something. See, God sees through that, and in fact, he did when he saw that happening during the day of Isaiah the prophet, and he said, you know, he said, your prayers really weary me because, you know, you're praying and you're worshiping me with your words only. And so and the other thing is that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our hearts. We always jump on this part and say that he gives you the desires of your heart. No, wait a minute. He said, when you delight yourself in the Lord, and when I delight myself in the Lord, I only want what the Lord wants. And when I want what the Lord wants, the Lord is going to give me what I want.
Perfect.
So you see the circle here? I mean,
yeah.
So it's a delight. It's a sitting in the presence of God and not necessarily want anything, but you reveling in his grace, reveling in his glory and majesty, and his love for us, the amazing love that was demonstrated on the cross. I came to the Lord back in 1964, and here I am, you know, 50-plus years later. I revel in my salvation today and the joy of my salvation than I did the day it happened, although it was dramatic, but nonetheless. And I think as we grow, somebody asked me one time about, you know, is there a formula for prayer? I said, look, I've been married for 47 years. I don't have a formula, written formula, and come up to my wife and I said, now, I recite that formula. No, because I enjoy and I revel in her presence and we delight in each other's presence. We come and we talk. I listen and she speaks and I speak and she listens. And so when somebody asked me, what do you do all this time praying? I said, well, I don't do all the talking. You have to allow God the opportunity to speak to you. But to come in and just rattle whatever it is you need and then keep running out and then keep persistent only until you get it, and then you even never even come back and say thank you. That happened with 10 lepers. 9 were Jewish, 1 was foreigner, the Samaritan. And he's the only one who came back and said thank you. And I often say to the Lord, I said, I never want to stop coming back and saying thank you. And that blesses the heart of God. And therefore, when you come and praise him, adore him, and worship him, and thank him, God is delighted in this, and you are delighted in him. And then you're going to find whatever it is that you're praying for will be taking place in his perfect timing.
I'm talking to Dr. Michael Youssef in his book, Life Changing Prayers. Michael, you talk about the paradox principle in chapter 2 of your book. What is that?
Well, you know, in fact, the Bible is filled with paradoxes. You know, the way up is down.
Mm-hmm.
The way to live, you give away your life. The way to get is to give.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are paradoxes in the Scripture, very clear. That the person in the world who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, does not have faith and intimacy with him, will never understand. But we do, and even the world will always misunderstand us because of that. That is so unique, that is not found in any religion or any faith or any cult. This is something that is uniquely for those who love the Lord Jesus and follow him and worship him.
Michael, can we actually be trained to pray effectively, or how do we learn to do that?
Well, I think maybe starting with the Lord's Prayer, but
okay.
I'm not saying just you just rattle it through, but you meditate on it. Sometimes I do. And I spend nearly 40 minutes, and I don't do that every time because I'm varying. I'm talking to the Lord different way. But sometimes as I meditate, I said, my Father in heaven. And I would begin to compare, you know, I did not have a very kind father. So I begin to compare my heavenly father with my earthly father, how kind he is, how loving he is, how forgiving he is. And I begin to delight myself in the character of my Father who's in heaven. And then I get to heaven. He's in heaven. This is where my home is. This is where I'll be going. Heaven is where his throne is, and he's sitting on the rim of the universe in control of the world from heaven. And I think of all the texts and the passages about heaven. And then I go, hallowed be thy name. That is really, it can take me a long time just meditating on what it means. Hallowed, glorified be your name. How I can glorify the name of Jesus. How can I bring glory to that name? That name means everything to me, and it ought to mean everything to every believer, because that name is above every name. Paul said the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, that's the name that God gave him, name that's above every name. And when you think about the name of Jesus and lifting up the name of Jesus, and Lord, how can I do that today? How can I lift up that name? How can I share that name with somebody in my office today? How can I show this to a vendor who might come my way? Lord, show me how to lift up the name of Jesus. And then you go on, and by the time you get to give us this day our daily bread, which is the petition when you need, you know, whatever it is that is the need, you're going to find yourself having a ball. I want to call it having a one-man revival. So by the time you get to there and said, Lord, you know what? I thank you because I know you all my needs and you're going to meet them. And this is one of them. Or most times I find myself just really praying for others.
Mm-hmm. Michael, talk about giving God gratitude for prayers that were answered with a big fat no.
Well, I know now, and you know, I'm not saying everybody lived as long as I have, but you live long enough, and you're going to absolutely spend your life as you look back to thank God when He turned you down. I'll give you an example. I was 18 years old, or 19, and I was enrolled in the Air Force Academy in Egypt. As a matter of fact, by the way, after that, immediately I escaped from there. And I wanted that more than anything in the world. I prayed, and I begged God, and I said, I know you're calling me to preach. I know you called me from my mother's womb. I know, but here's how I can serve you. And of all the 3,000 or 4,000 people, candidates, that got accepted, and I was accepted, which is a miracle in itself. I thought, oh, God is performing a miracle. My letter got lost in the mail, and therefore I was late in reporting, and there, I did not make it. And I said, God, I mean, you didn't answer my prayer. And I was really briefly kind of angry with God, but I was young and immature. And I look back now, you know, 50 plus years later, and I said, every day I said, thank you. I would have been dead by now. I wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't have been serving Him. I wouldn't have had the opportunities of preaching the gospel in every one of the 6 continents. I wouldn't have had the opportunity of sharing the gospel with millions of people throughout the world through Kingdom Sat. I mean, all of these things make me constantly thank God for saying no.
Michael, why is it important for Christians to pray globally? And you know, I think most of us wake up and we pray for our immediate surroundings and people and places and, you know, personal things. But I don't know how good we are at praying globally.
Well, I think and I'm not saying, you know, God bless the world, everyone in the world, amen. I think if you maybe ask God to lay a certain area of the world in your heart, now, you know, there's a certain method in the way the Lord gave the Great Commission to the disciples. He said, Jerusalem, that's where you are, the local area, and then Samaria, then, you know, next door, and then the ends of the world. So you can start praying. Certainly you must pray for your immediate surroundings, your church, mm-hmm. your community, where God has planted you. That's very important. Pray for the nation. Pray for our nation. My goodness, if there's ever a prayer needed right now, it is for our country today. It is today, because we are a divided nation. We're in trouble. We are at each other's throat. Every morning now I hear about some possibility of a civil war in this country. How many believers have gone on their knees and start praying for God to intervene in our nation, to bring the lost to Himself, to send us an awakening, to let the believers stop being pew warmers and be active, and beginning with me. And then, you know, you pray for the community, pray for your church, and then pray for the nation. You pray, then you know, you don't have to say the whole world, but just think of one area of the world maybe that's so close or near to your heart. It would be China or the Middle East or whatever it is, and you begin there. Once you take those steps and be informed and pray for specific, maybe missionaries that you have in your church or some people that you know who are serving overseas, you start praying for them. And then you can expand from there, but this is a good way to start.
Dr. Michael Youssef, thank you so much for coming on to the program. His book, Life-Changing Prayers, How God Displays His Power to Ordinary People. Michael's been my guest. Have a wonderful rest of the day, Michael, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Bill. My pleasure.
You bet. We're going to take a little break. We've got a great second hour coming up. You know, whenever you're supposed to pray that God would lay a certain portion of the world on your heart, it never seems to be Maui, does it? It's always like some other place. Anyway, we'll take a short break and be back with lots more.